Take your Bibles tonight and turn one more time to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Last week we concluded the account of the Samaritan woman at the well. And we talked about the consequences of ministry in verses 27 through 42, John chapter 4. And that the whole purpose of ministry is to make disciples. That is the purpose of the church, to spread the gospel, but to make disciples. To make people who can reproduce on their own. And so, in verse 27, we see the surprise of the disciples when they come back from getting food and finding that Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman. They were astonished at it. They marveled. But they didn't say anything about it because they didn't want to rock the boat. And they had acquiescence. But God knew. Christ knew what was going on in their hearts. And Jesus, in His sovereignty, and God in His sovereignty, was basically making all these arrangements possible. So there was a one-on-one with the Samaritan woman, and now there's a one-on-one with the disciples, because the woman's gone away. Because in verses 28 through 30, we see the surrender of the woman. She left her water pot. She had found the water of living life. And she had left that to go back and tell the city. Her plans are not important anymore. Her plea was something unheard of before in the city. He told me everything that I ever did. And then her persistence resulted in an unexpected response. There were people that came to Christ because of that. Then, while this is going on, Christ is talking to His disciples. And He's basically saying, look, it's not about physical meat, it's about spiritual meat. You need to change your spiritual perspective and your appetite and what you're working for. We're supposed to be working for the kingdom of heaven. You need a spiritual priority. You know, don't look at the signs for harvest. Basically, the harvest is now. People are lost and dying and going to hell even today. We're not saved. The day is far spent, the night is at hand, and we're not saved. And we need a spiritual purpose. Our purpose is we're a new creation. We're His workmanship, created to do good works because we are saved. Because we can. And then there was the salvation of many. There were many saved because they were brought to Christ because of the woman's testimony. And then there were others that heard Christ and got saved too. Folks, what we need to do is lift Christ up. Is to lift Christ up. In the book of John, there are 8 miracles that are basically mentioned. The first one was at the marriage supper, or at the marriage in Cana, where it turned water into wine. The second miracle is tonight. And we can see this in verses 43 through 54. And the miracles of Christ should cause belief in Him. Later on in John, He's going to say, believe me just for the very work's sake. Not just for my words, but for what you see. And so, tonight, Christ leaves Samaria. And He goes to Galilee. His hometown was Nazareth. That was in Galilee. And so in verses 43 through 45, there's a contrast that John points out here between the Samaritans and the Galileans. Between the Gentiles and the Jews. The first thing is, there was a contrast in time. In verse 43, it says, now after 2 days, He departed thence and went into Galilee. Now, we already saw last week they asked Him to stay, and He stayed 2 days. So now we're picking up this story again. But here's the point. Look at what happened in 2 days in Samaria versus what's been happening in many days in Israel. What's happened in a very short period of time to people who were despised by the Jews, versus people who despise Christ who were Jews. So there's this contrast here. In 2 days, great things can happen in an instant. The rapture will be in an instant. The second coming will be in an instant. All these things will be in an instant. And you don't take a long period of time to get much done for Christ. It can happen instantaneously. So we see this contrast in people in the sense of time, that Christ spent a very short time in Samaria and great results happened. He's been dealing in Jewry for some time and people are not believing him. The second thing is the contrast in people. So now he's going to, he was down here in Sychar or Shechem, which is between Gerizim and Ebal. That's where Jacob's well was. And now he's going to go back to Cana. He's going to go back to Cana. We need to do this because Capernaum comes in here. The distance between Cana and Capernaum is 16 miles. So just kind of remember that when we get into the second miracle here. So, there are contrasts in people and time. There's a contrast to the people in treatment. In verses 44 through 45 says, "For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country." And what we see here in John is not a synoptic gospel. John is a gospel that talks about the deity of Christ, but it's talked about it from a principle perspective and not a timeline. And we'll get to that in a minute. So verse 44, he says, "For Jesus himself testified." So this is what Jesus is saying about his own ministry here. It says, "Then when he was come into Galilee." So now we know from the map. "The Galileans received him, having seen" what? "All the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast." There's a lot of things happen in Jerusalem at the feast days. Why? Because all of Israel was supposed to be there. Folks, there are great opportunities to witness in large crowds. Had they received Christ's words, what would have happened? That whole land would have been evangelized. But there's two things here. Contrast the way the Samaritans received his word based on the testimony of the woman to how the Jews and the Galileans are receiving his word now. John says, "For Jesus himself testified." You can look in Matthew and you can also look in Mark. I'm going to go to Mark chapter 6, verses 2 through 6, which kind of catches us up to the timeline here. When Jesus went back to Galilee, he went to Cana, okay? And he goes into the synagogue and he preaches. And it says, "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things?" You know, this is Jesus' hometown. These are his homies. But you know something? Familiarity can breed what? Contempt. It becomes too usual, too routine. Yeah, we've heard it all before. So he comes in there and he says, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even the mighty works are wrought by his hands?" They see it, but they don't understand it. They're not listening. They're in the synagogue. They have the Old Testament prophecies. He's fulfilling all these things, and they don't see. "Is not this the carpenter?" There's nothing about the Messiah. There's nothing about a prophet or a mighty man of God, much less Christ, God in the flesh. "Is not this the" what? "The carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah And Simon, oh, by the way, Mary is not a virgin. There's proof right there. She had other kids. Okay? Just threw that in. There's a proof text right there. And are not his sisters with us? Hey, you were kids. And they what? And they were what? Offended him. Who gives you the right to come into our synagogue and say these things when you're just an itinerant carpenter? Jesus said, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Look at verse 5. Why did great things happen in Samaria? Because they received him. They listened to him. They believed him. But look at verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he, Jesus, marveled because of their unbelief. Folks, let's talk about it from a church perspective. You know, the greatest power force should be the church. We ought to see God do mighty works in the church. We should see God do mighty works in our lives. Why isn't he working like that? Maybe it's because we don't believe as much as we say we do. If you receive Christ, you'll receive his power. You'll receive his guidance. You'll receive his direction. But if you don't receive him, don't expect anything to happen from him.
That's right.
And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Now he's going to stay in Galilee for some time. There's going to be the feeding of 5,000, feeding 4,000, all these other things, the storms and all this thing going up there. So we have this contrast in people and the length of time it took to bring basically revival to the Shechem and the results of that. And then he goes back to his hometown, his home area, and people get mad at him. Interesting, huh? The people who should have been looking for him weren't looking. So isn't that a big contrast in the people here? So now we come to this second miracle. And in verses 46 through 49, it involves a conflicted person. A conflicted person. And we're going to see why he is conflicted tonight. Maybe some of you here tonight are conflicted in your faith. Maybe there's some issue that's going on in your life and you're trying to solve it yourself. Remember, count it all joy when you fall into diverse... Why are you looking at me like that? Temptations. We've had a very interesting week in our household. Okay? She said, don't preach that anymore on Sunday morning. Because things have happened. But you know something? In verse 46, there's a person with a problem. My Bible tells me, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 46, it says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee. Now we know that that's where the first miracle happened, right? Okay? Where he made the water wine. So if you forgot, John reminds you here. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, go back here real quick. Here's Capernaum on the northern shore of Lake of the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Tiberias. And here's Cana right here. Don't look at the scale. It's about 16 miles. So, this man had a sick son. Do not get this confused with Jairus. Okay? It is not him. It's a different person. It's a different person. So, there's a person with a problem. His kid's sick. His kid is near death. And this is a life or death problem, isn't it? Isn't it? So we see a person with a problem, but in verses 47 through 48, we see the problem with the person. It says, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea. Now, all those things that happened in the feast, remember, all those people went back to their hometowns. And so they said, hey, Jesus is gone. We saw him down in the temple. Now he's gone. And he's back up here in Galilee. And last we heard, he was going to Cana. So, when you have a serious problem, you want to find a solution, right? Okay? So it says, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. Folks, when you have a problem, you come to God. It only makes sense. It's a logical thing to do. And besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So now we know this whole thing. But here's the deal. What was the problem with this person? He wanted to have Jesus go to where he was instead of just believing in what Jesus was going to do. He thought that the physical presence of Jesus was absolutely necessary to get these miracles done. This is not uncommon. Remember John chapter 11. Lazarus is sick. Jesus waits a couple of days to make sure he's really dead. Okay? He comes to Mary and Martha. And what do they say to him? When they see, he says, look, what took you so long? If you had come here, he wouldn't have died. That is the way that people want Christ to work in their life. I want you, I don't have the patience for faith. I want you to work the way I think you ought to work. And I'm coming to you and I'm telling you, Jesus, he says he besought him. He basically said, he's begging him to come because he thought that Jesus' physical presence was what was needed. No, there's a bigger issue here. The bigger issue is with the person himself. He's speaking to someone who just spoke the universe into existence. But he's just thinking in a physical sense. Have we seen this? We've seen this in Nicodemus. We've seen with the Samaritan woman. So we see this. Everybody is thinking in the physical. Everybody wants a physical presence. Everybody wants the remedy. Okay? And they don't want to go about what will glorify God the most. They think about themselves instead of thinking about God. They claim they know God, but they don't act like it. They're conflicted. They're conflicted. How do we know this? Because what the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, says. He says, the only reason you come to me is because you've heard about what I've done in other places. And you want the same thing to happen to you. He says here, then saith Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. What is Jesus saying? He said, you wouldn't even darken the room that I'm in unless you had a problem. And now your problem is here, and now you want me to come and fix your problem. You need to be fixed. You need to be fixed. And so we see the person with a problem. We have these things happen in our life to see God work, to give an opportunity for God to work in our life, for us an opportunity to go find His truth, to find the Holy Spirit working through us to get us through this. He will give us a way to escape that we can endure this. But He says, I want to do it my way. I want you to come to me. I've come to you now. You owe me. A lot of people think like that. Now, not only is there a problem with the person, he is persistent about it. Now, it's a good thing to keep on asking, right? But if you keep on asking for the wrong thing, you're going to get the wrong result. In verse 49, now we see this person is identified a little bit more. The nobleman saith unto Sir, at least he had a little bit of respect, more so than today, okay? And the only solution he had in his mind was what? Jesus coming to his house and healing his son. He wasn't open to anything else. So Jesus says, except you see signs and wonders, you do not believe. Wait a second, that's not me. But I need you to come down now. He was denying what Christ was saying. He says, come down. You didn't hear me the first time, God. Come down, else he's going to die. So we have this conflicted person. Now here's the issue. God's going to give you an opportunity that to extend your faith or to have faith in this. What faith would have happened to this man if Jesus would have come down to his house and healed him? He would have said, thank you, Jesus, and that would have been the end of it. And the next time something would come up, he'd come running back to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, and then I'm going to go and run on my life, myself. Folks, that's the way a lot of people live today. Jesus is the God of crisis. He's not the God of all. He's not the God of all. Only when there's something bad, you see people come to church. That's when the pastor gets called. That's when things start happening, when something comes bad. So he was conflicted. Verses 50 through 51, we see the commandment of Christ. We need to listen to what God has as a solution and then follow it. In John 4, 50 and 51, it says, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way. Thy son liveth. He's 16 miles away. He can't see there. There's no cell phone there. There's no internet there. There's no Snapchat there. There's nothing there. So for the next day, as he walks back to Capernaum, he doesn't know what's going to happen, right? He says, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Because I am sure that the moment that Christ spoke this, that the kid starts reviving and everybody says, we got to go tell him. And so they got people running this way and people running this way, and they meet and they talk about who? Jesus. Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? That's the way it's supposed to work. So, we see the commandment of Christ that was given, but the most important thing is that it was received. He said, go thy way. In verse 50. And what's at the end of verse 50? At verse 50. And he went his way. He did exactly what God told him to do because he believed it. He believed it. Because it says he believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. Now just a couple of verses, a few minutes before, he's talking about, look, you got to do it. You got to have a sign or a miracle. That's the way you're asking me for this. Let's do it another way. Let's do it by the way of faith and not by sight. And then in verse 50, there's a what? There's a promise. And what's the promise? Thy son liveth. There's the promise. And so Christ told him, he says, look, go your way. It's taken care of. I don't have to come down there. Why? He's God. He's God. Okay? And he believed it. And he went on his way. And while he's walking home, he's told the good news. You know something? What would have happened if he didn't, if he just kept on badgering Jesus and not changed his heart? The woman left her water pot. Nicodemus went and changed the whole way he was thinking about stuff. Do you see what John's getting at here? This is someone who is, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things become. John is showing us the massive change from this to that because of Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus is God. And that's the point of John. He believes it, and because he believes it and follows Christ, the promise is achieved. It's recognized. It happens. His son is. He got exactly what the problem required, but not the way the man thought was going to happen, was needed. God did it a different way. Are you willing to do that? Or are we so hard-headed that it's only our way and not any other way? So in verses 52 through 54, this is a short lesson tonight. We see the consequences of the commitment. In verse 52, we see the physical healing. We see the physical healing. He said, okay, so service running up. I got great news. Your son started and perked up. Everything's going bad. And all of a sudden, changed. All of a sudden, changed. He says, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, what? The fever left him. He was sick, and now he's not sick anymore. What happened? You know, if you take medicine, you slowly get over your symptoms. When God says something, it happens immediately. So, hang on to this. Now, the seventh hour could be 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It could be Roman time, 7 o'clock in the afternoon. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Basically, what happened was, he asked the servant, he said, based on the timing of this, the man said, that was when Jesus said what he said. Okay? He's miles away from his son. He's a day away from his son. Yet he still walked out in faith into the unknown based on what the Word of God said and what happened. The solution happened. The physical healing occurred. The problem is solved. Now, when God works in your life, that should cause a change. shouldn't it? When something good happens, it should cause us to reflect on that and understand why. So there's the physical healing here. It says that immediately in the seventh hour, the fever left him. Then there's a spiritual healing in verse 53. It says, and the father knew that it was the what? Same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And when someone is snatched from death's door, that's a significant event in your life. And it says here, and himself believed, and his what? Whole house. Folks, it's just more, it's just like the woman. She goes running off and says, I met the Messiah. I believe. And then they believed. He talks about the whole story here about Jesus. And now he's convinced that he's God. Why? Because he just spoke the problem away. Didn't have to go there. Didn't have to do this, all this other stuff. Didn't have to use medicine. Didn't have to do anything. It went away immediately. Don't tell me God can't instantly change you. Here's proof after proof after proof in the Bible. Well, I can't get off this habit. I can't break my addiction to this. Yes, you can! If you believe. If you believe. There was physical healing. There was spiritual healing. And then confirmation of Christ. In verse 54 it says, this is again the what? Second miracle. And oh, by the way, the word for miracle is also translated as a sign. This is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, later on, or if you go read the other Gospels, what about Capernaum? Was he well received in Capernaum? Yeah. No. Was he well received in Chorazin? Yeah. No. He said of the works that had been done in Capernaum and Chorazin had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. They wouldn't have been destroyed. So you see the level of unbelief that Christ is fighting here? This guy came to him and said, hey, I need you to come down now. Because that's the only way my son's going to... You come to me. And Christ changes his perspective totally. And says, no, you just do what I say. And everything's going to be just fine. Folks, do what God says. And everything will be just fine. God still works miracles. He's the same God. The only thing that's changed been us. Okay? Faith is the same faith. We just need to exercise it. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, tonight I pray that they will realize that you're God. You died on the cross for man's sin. You were buried. You rose again the third day to pay the penalty for sin, to show that you have power over death and over sin, and that you can forgive sin because you sit in heaven. Help us, Lord, to understand the gift that you've given to us and to follow it. Help us, Lord, to hear your word from your word. Hear your word from the Holy Spirit. And Father, that we would follow it with all of our heart. Father, work a miracle in our life. Help us to see your power. Help us not to let it go our way, but your way. And be obedient to that. And we ask these things in your son's name. Amen.